You are listening to the Babblery.
Babblery.
This is your host, Suki Wessling, and this is a mini babble. One day I was working on our next episode, and I realized that the Babblery was featuring three lawyers in a row. They were so different as people, in their careers and in the issues we discussed, yet they all started from the same training and with the will to use that training to improve the world. There isn't an area of modern life that the law doesn't touch one way or another, and these three women have explored large swaths of it. La Doris Cordell is in her 70s and retired from a career as a superior court judge in California. Cindy Cohen is in her 60s and on the cusp of retirement. In her work at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, she took on the federal government and big corporations, helping to define the rights of privacy and freedom of speech on the internet. And Denise Miranda, as the Human Rights Commissioner for the state of New York, is the youth of the group, still in her 40s and with perhaps decades of meaningful career ahead of her. Let's meet them and hear a little bit about what they've done.
My name is La Doris Hazard Cordell. I'm a retired Superior Court judge from Santa Clara County, California. I'm also a former independent police auditor for the city of San Jose. And I'm currently involved in taking steps to make sure we keep our democracy, and also indulging in my love of music. And also, I'm the author of I call it a primoir, part primer and part memoir, about my 20 years on the bench as a trial court judge.
Hi, my name is Cindy Cohen. I'm the executive director of the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We do free speech, privacy, and innovation online. I've been the executive director for 11 years, and I'm also the author of a new book called Privacy's Defender, My 30-Year Fight Against Digital Surveillance. And I'm the co-host of EFF's award-winning podcast, How to Fix the Internet.
My name is Denise Miranda, and I am a mother, a wife, and a daughter. I am also the commissioner for the New York State Division of Human Rights, which means I'm also an attorney, and I've been practicing for 30 years now.
What I love about these three is that they show their Babblery guest credentials right off the bat. Their careers aren't just about making money. They're about making a difference by following their passions and their ideals and sharing their knowledge and expertise with others. As the rare Black female lawyer in the 70s, La Doris saw on her first day on the bench that her life experience could offer an important asset as a judge.
So I walked in, and then I stopped, and I looked, and I stared, and the litigants stopped, looked at me, and they stared, and then I was like, what? So it turns out that the litigants were two Black women. One was suing the other to get paid for braiding the person's hair. And the person who got her hair braided, the braidee, said, no, I'm not paying her because she did a lousy job braiding my hair. So, of course, I knew the subject matter, being a Black woman myself, and I knew what to do. I listened to them both, and then I made my ruling. And my ruling was that the person who had her hair braided had to pay, but didn't have to pay the full amount because the braiding really wasn't that great. And so they both looked at me and said, thank you, Your Honor. I made my decision. Off they went. And I sat there and I'm thinking, this is, you know, I don't really believe in fate. Not really. But how else to explain a random case and a random pull where I come up on the wheel to be the pro tem judge? And I'm presiding over a case where two Black women, where the subject matter is right up my alley. Mm-hmm. And then as I'm driving home, I'm thinking, you know, what if this had been, at the time, and still is, the typical, let's say, white male judge? He wouldn't have had a clue, no, what to ask or anything, which drove home to me the importance of having a diverse bench. Wherever, whatever state it is, even in the federal system, we need judges from diverse backgrounds.
I feel like La Doris's story truly exemplifies the amazing and important change that affirmative action brought to our country. Cindy admits that she got interested in studying law because of a childish misconception. When a friend's father, a lawyer, took them water skiing, she decided that the life in law was for her. But here at the pinnacle of her career, she is using her memoir literally to recruit the next generation of lawyers who are willing to fight for internet freedoms.
You know, I was lucky enough to get to do this kind of work for a long time. I thought it was important to share how you do this kind of work for the long run. What are the things I've learned along the way? Because I think it's important to understand that this kind of work is not like a TV show where, you know, it's, you know, by the third set of commercials, it's all done, right? These are long-term fights, and hopefully recruit some other people to think that they can spend their lives doing this kind of work, and not just digital privacy, although of course I care about that a lot, but really devoting your life to making the world a better place and being part of the team of people who are pushing in various ways to try to make the world better. That's a viable life and a good life, and one that doesn't require you to be special. It just requires you to decide you want to do it and find ways to do it.
And Denise may never have questioned her career path.
I've always known I wanted to be an attorney. People ask me why or how did you know? I don't really know. I don't know if it was a function of people saying, you might be a good attorney. I know that it was definitely a function of my dad saying, do you want to be a doctor? And that was an absolute hard no. And so lawyer seemed like a good fit. But I was always involved in like student council and leadership things. And I think, you know, sort of those personality traits were there. And I think they lent themselves to sort of gravitating towards this idea of going to law school.
But she had no idea that one day she'd get a quick and lasting reminder of why she wanted to work for the good of others.
There was a moment where I actually contemplated, you know, what life would look like if I went and got one of those really great fancy law firm jobs. And so I did for a whole whopping, I think, 4 or 5 months, and realized that despite the glamour and very generous compensation, that I really missed the grit of the work in the community and working with people and really having that opportunity to interact. So it was a short-lived stint in the private sector, but it taught me that I am where I'm supposed to be.
LaDoris and Cindy both wrote legal memoirs that stem not just from their work, but how who they were inspired and informed that work. LaDoris' commitment to community and the judiciary is clear when she talks about the foundation of her book.
I really wasn't thinking about writing a book at all. But what I had written were letters to my parents during my last 8 or 9 years on the bench. So every Friday, I would sit down in my chambers and type out a letter to my parents about everything that happened that week. My parents loved hearing about all the cases that would come into my court. And if you're a trial court judge, just about every day is something unexpected happens, which was great. They weren't letters for my parents to write back. It was just, this is almost like a journal kind of thing for me. These were real letters, signed them, put them in an envelope, postage stamps. There was no texting. There was no emails, none of that. All right, so I retired from the bench. So I go back to visit my parents. And during the visit, my mother, who was a very organized person, pulls this box out of the closet. And she says, what do you want me to do with these? And I'm like, what are they? And I looked. She didn't have to tell me. She kept every letter that I wrote. I boxed them up, mailed them back here to me. And it took me 2 or 3 years, Suki, before I decided, let me take a look at these letters. And what I read was stunning to me in that I didn't realize I had presided over so many cases, just the last 8 years, and also just the variety of cases over which I had presided.
LaDoris's book, which is a law primer at the same time as a memoir, helps people understand the law, how it affects them, and how she believes the judiciary could be strengthened. Cindy's memoir details her accidental entry into the area of law she is now known for when she met the founders of EFF in a social environment. I loved that detail and the way she wove in her developing personal life along with her career, because her book humanizes the law, especially for young women who might not think they're qualified for a career like hers.
I started looking at the histories of especially the 1990s internet, the early internet. And of course, the internet's older, but the kind of, you know, the introduction of the widely available internet with the World Wide Web and things like that, that all happened in the 90s. And all these stories were about men and the businesses that they started, right? And like, don't get me wrong, they were there, right? Jobs and Gates and even EFF founder Mitch Kapor, like, you know, white guys founded a lot of businesses in the 90s around tech. Great. I was around then too, and it just felt like a very narrow version of what were very rich times. Also, the story is written as if there aren't any other women either. It's not just me, you know, the story of us freeing up encryption features two very, very amazing forward-looking women judges who saw the future of the internet and were willing to do it, even though I suspect neither of them were particularly technical. So it wasn't just me. There was a cadre of us, and some of them wore black robes that helped usher in some of the privacy and security that we do enjoy on the internet now. We don't have enough, but we have a lot more than we would have had.
Denise hasn't written a book yet. But she also took the time to personalize what many people see as big government bureaucracy by talking about how basic civil rights affect her daughter and other young women.
And as a woman of color living in New York, I never thought that I would have some of the concerns I have with respect to civil rights, with respect to safety, with the safety of my daughter, my family, people who look like me. I think that those are going to be some really challenging conversations and moments where people are going to have to reconcile, I think, where they want to live. I have friends of mine who are talking about where they want their children to go up, where they want their daughters to go to school, to college, where they want to see them start families. Mm-hmm. And there are lists of states where they're like, I don't want my grandchild born there. Mm-hmm. I don't want my daughter to give birth in this particular state.
These interviews, for me, fleshed out the law in surprising ways. While so different, these three women show that it's not your career title. It's how you take the job and turn it into your life's work. Three women, three lawyers, three ways to change the world. Thanks to LaDoris Cordell, Denise Miranda, and Cindy Cohen for sharing their lives and their ideas with us. You can find the full episodes on babblery.com. That's BABBLERY.com. The song Silence is by Unwoman at unwoman.com. Thanks for listening.